Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming tonight. Tonight's event is called Resisting the Security Certificate, CSIS and Secret Trials, the case of Adel Shekraoui. Many people here, I'm sure, are familiar with the situation of Adel Shekraoui. He was picked up just more than a week ago here in Montreal and arrested. He's currently being detained. He's in detention and facing potential deportation to his native Morocco. There's been a coalition formed to fight against this injustice, as there has been no evidence presented as to Adel Shekraoui's guilt. This is a secret process, it's a secret trial, and it highlights the broader crackdown on Arab and Muslim communities post September 11th. The security certificate is being resisted throughout the country. In Ottawa, there's also people who are mobilizing to speak out against the detention of Mohamed Harket, an Algerian who is being detained in Ottawa under the same security certificate. So there's been a campaign that has been launched here in Montreal to fight against this detention, this unjust detention, as there has been no evidence presented as to Adel Shekraoui's guilt. So this event tonight is organized by this campaign, and we're very happy everybody could make it tonight. There's a lot of ways that people can support, financially support, mobilize in your community to write letters of protest, and we can build and hopefully eventually get the security certificate abolished. So tonight's panel, we're joined by various members of different communities and organizations from here in Montreal. We're going to first hear from Salam El-Minyawi, who is the president of the Muslim Council of Montreal, the MCM, who have been very active in this campaign. We're then going to hear from Emmanuel Madan, who is an organizer with the No One Is Illegal campaign here in Montreal. And then we're going to hear from Hind Shekraoui, who is Adel's sister. And then we're going to hear from Mohamed Shelfi, who is a very active member of the Action Committee for Non-Status Algerians. They actually just organized an occupation of Immigration Minister Denis Coderre's office in Ottawa and were brutalized by the Ottawa police for fighting against their deportations, the deportations of non-status Algerians. So thank you again for coming, and we'll hear about various struggles around resisting Immigration Canada and their harsh and inhumane policies. We're first going to hear from Salam El-Minyawi. So thank you again for coming, and we really do encourage people to donate to the campaign. There's donation tables outside, and spread the word. So here's Salam El-Minyawi. Thank you for coming again.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. Thank you. And thank you very much for coming tonight. It's very important that we all be in the picture. It's a very important issue, and it touches all of us. It's, I'm not going to talk about the issues. You're going to hear a lot about the issues. You have flyers telling you what is security certificate is all about. And because you know the issue, so there is no reason for us to talk about it. But in fact, I want to relate specifically to some small points. I saw myself on TV yesterday, and I was very angry. I didn't know. I was very angry yesterday. Rocco Galati was very angry yesterday. Rocco was able to control himself. I only said one thing. I'm going to mention it later on. But he was still be able to compose himself. But I didn't realize how angry I was until I saw myself on TV there with a very angry face. I think anybody would say, where did he get this terrorist from? And, you know, I said, I better cool it down. So tonight I want to explain myself again. What did I say? What actually are the issues in relation to this subject? I was asked why the Muslim Council of Montreal so strongly supported the case of Adel Shekraoui, and especially that Murad Khalif had very much similar case, but the Muslim Council was not there to support them. And subhanAllah, this is quite an interesting issue, because I know Murad Khalif personally. I hope this is not taken against me as evidence that I'm a terrorist. But I, as a Muslim chaplain, I do visit jail from time to time. And every time I tell my wife, she says, where are you going? I'm saying, I'm going to jail. She gets worried. But I normally go because I have to meet with some Muslims and relate to them in some spiritual way. And I saw Murad Khalif, very good man. And I didn't know who was under security certificate until he actually was deported. And that's one of the reasons today I'm working very hard for Adel Sharkawi. I felt very bad because there may be about five people who became Muslims as they became the friends of Murad Khalif and they heard about Islam through him. And they became Muslim and they came to our group from different backgrounds. Some are French-Canadian, some are Spanish and different group. And all of them, they are beautiful guys, very good. They all asked me, where is Murad Khalif? He left, he promised us, when he get to Algeria or anywhere, he will send us a message that he's okay. And we haven't heard from him and we are worried dead about him. And that really hurt me. That I felt very bad because I didn't even know at that time that Murad Khalif was part of this issue. I felt bad about it. And when the issue came for Adel Sharkawi, I felt that here we go again. And I thought we must all stand up together in unity to defend this basic principle of giving somebody his fundamental justice. I was asked, why would the Muslim Council of Montreal go so obviously in this support? What would happen if Adel Sharkawi was found guilty? So what would the Muslim Council do? Again, I see the lack of understanding what security certificate is, and this is where I think I must reflect on this point and get you all in the picture with me. One, Adel Sharkawi is not charged of any crime. So I don't know what is to find him guilty. Guilty of what? I don't understand. This is one question that is very important. Adel Sharkawi will never be able to find him guilty of anything. The judge is not asked to find him, is he guilty or innocent? I do know, after getting to know the family and knowing what is Adel, and I think he's a very good man, and I think there is that it is totally unfair to subject this man and his family to this torture and this way of life. But I must also say that the issue is not about his guilt or his innocence. Even the judge is not there to check the guilt or the innocence of Adel Sharkawi. All what they are trying to do is to prove that there is a reason for them why they would actually ask Adel Sharkawi to leave the country and deport him. Normally in a criminal court, in order to prove that somebody is guilty of a crime, you have to charge him of a crime, he has to know all the evidence against him, will have a time to face his accuser, and will have a time to be tried in a public court. Now, for the judge to find him guilty, it has to be proven behind reasonable doubt. If you put a percentage on this, is over 90% of the value of the evidence that this man is proven to be guilty. In a civil case, which relates only to money, no jail on it, you can't be jailed in a civil case. In this case, you can prove it behind the balance of probability, which means if there is 50 to 51% a chance of the evidence that this action happened this way, then the judge will decide. But it is only money, it's only materialistic things. So they do this in civil cases. So 51 to 49%. In this case, and in both courts, criminal or civil, hearsay is not allowed. Emotion is not allowed, ideas are not allowed. You have to come up right away with the facts and check the facts and cross-examine them until you make sure it is clear. In this case, only emotion, which is 50% of the 50% of the balance of probability, that gives you 25%. But for the judge to find out, he's going to have to find out on this emotion, which is the balance of probability of the emotional fact in front of him, which is 12% or 12.5%, it's about 12.25%. So say 12% of evidence, you can put somebody in jail, not only in jail, you subject him to be tortured and go back to his country, that rejecting him here for as an immigrant or as a Canadian citizen, it means for the country he's guilty. If the people living here, they think the judge is going to find them guilty of something. And I tell you, this is easy for the judge to do. There is the odds are all stacked against him. Those that came to court yesterday, they saw four lawyers sitting in front of our two lawyers who had no means whatsoever to even know what the four lawyers know. Four lawyers, they all know everything. But those two lawyers for Adel Sharkawi, they know nothing. So this is quite strange. Now, those 12%, you telling me, the judge sits alone to hear this 12%. Sits alone to decide whether he should show all the evidence or half of it or a quarter of it. And then after this takes a decision. And I want to remind you that we all know a number of people just recently were in the news, and one of them was jailed up to 23 years in jail. The only reason he got out of jail was because of DNA test that he was actually innocent. So to prove beyond reasonable doubt, with all the checks and balances in our justice system, with all the open court and the legal representations and so on, so on, so it keeps on going, they still jailed innocent man for 23 years. So you're going to tell me for 12% Adel Sharkawi is not going to be found? So the issue is not about guilt or innocence, and it's not about holding the security certificate or not. So the security certificate is serious, and it will be held. And that is, if they have their way, it will be held. So we rely on you. We rely on you to make sure to be aware, to get Canadian to know about it. Yesterday, I said Rocco Galati was angry. Rocco Galati was angry because he was asked a question. Somebody told him, you know, a journalist, with all my respect to the old journalist, of course, he said, but my friend, after they saw the evidence, the summary, they thought that he's guilty. He's saying that my friend, after they looked at the evidence, they thought that he's guilty. So Rocco Galati looked at him and said, I don't know what dumb friend you have. I think Rocco got a little bit, again, he was angry. And again, it's frustrating to see this kind of issues coming in, because we know that there is certain rights, and those rights are all being breached. It's not because the police or our authority did something, it means it is right. Especially cases when one of them was in the cross-examination, his name is David, he called himself David, he didn't give his family name. He thought Iran is an Arab country. He didn't know what is the population of Egypt. He could not count what is the countries that make up the North African countries. And you're telling me that they know all the geopolitical situation for them to give a feeling or a position why Adel Sharkawi should be, his certificate should be held. That is very, very serious. And this is why, again, I'm saying, I did answer the same journalist asked me the same question a bit earlier. And my answer was very simple, and I repeat it again, and I said it a number of times before. The logic by which this case is going, and similar cases, is if the table has four legs, and the cow has four legs, then the table is the daughter of a cow. This is the kind of deduction, which in a way, and the table may have mad cow disease. And therefore you can condemn the cow and take it somewhere else. So, my dear respected fellow citizen, I can tell you very clearly, this is no go, and this is not our country. The French Revolution came because of laws like that. The Inquisition, they would follow people to see if they fast, if they teach their people to pray, it means they are Muslim, then they take them and they torture them and they kill them. Now we are back to this again, because they are Muslim, they do this. I only have one last thing to say, because I took too much of your time here and of that time that was alluded to me, I didn't know I can summarize this in a short way, but again, I'm trying to speak slower than yesterday. I'm still going fast. I can't help it. It's the other point, I want to thank the journalist. We rely strongly in an honest journalist and conscious-minded people to bring this issue to the subject. But there is one line I hope they don't cross. It's in their hand. It is a plea on behalf of the Muslim community. I asked them. I requested it yesterday when somebody came to me, showing me a picture of Hind Sharkawi, who will stand in front of you today. For the first time, many people will know who is Hind Sharkawi, who is the sister of this family. He asked me, is this Hind Sharkawi? And I refused to answer. For only one reason. This is not about Hind. This is, if it is about Hind, and it is about the wife of Adel Sharkawi, and it is about the mother of Adel Sharkawi, and it is about the father of Adel Sharkawi, it's only to show that there is injustices. But it is not to show the picture of Hind or their families as they are trying to work. Give them a chance. Give them room to act and to work in this direction. You saw a respected journalist is saying that his friends are saying they already think Adel is guilty. He's not charged of anything, but he's guilty of what? I don't know. Imagine the stigmatization that attaches to someone. When you call him that he's accused to be a member of Al-Qaeda or a member of an organization, though all the charges against him that he's a Muslim, he visited Pakistan one time, and he's a student of karate. Very serious. Again, that's the summary. And now if this summary brings me to say, oh my goodness, he's guilty. This guy is guilty. Now imagine now you take his daughter, his sister, his brother, his father, and you put the picture in the news. How are you going to live their life? And how Adel? We hope Adel will get out of jail. Are we going to chase him? Are you going to take his picture? Some of the TVs have been showing his the apartment number, the house where he lives, and the places. I urge them, and I will urge them again, and I'm going to make a special press release to ask journalists to stand up for their responsibility. People want to know, but they don't know anything about Hinchar County. They want to know about that faulty process. We have a faulty process in Canada, and it hurts all of us. If there's injustices anywhere, it's a threat to justice everywhere. If we don't maintain justice, justice will not maintain us. If we don't make sure that the accused is innocent until proven guilty, we will all be guilty until proven innocent, and that will be very serious. And I have to make it very clear. I have to make it very clear that he is not even accused of anything. There is only suspicion against him that he may be a threat to national security. And my dear fellow citizen, the real threat to national security is this trial. And I tell you why. The best policing of any community is their own themselves, their own policing. That if I am, as a Muslim, suspicious of somebody next to me that is doing something wrong, it is my obligation to call CSIS and call RCMP and call the police and tell them. But if I see that they are unfair, unjust, and there is complete distrust between the community and CSIS and RCMP, that becomes the biggest threat. This kind of trial becomes the biggest threat for the national security of Canada, because we will refuse to cooperate with them. Because we don't know what they're going to do to anyone that we may think we are suspicious against him or her. So that is not the way to solve our problem. So for all of us that care about Canada and about Canada's national security, we must change these laws. We must find another way to protect ourselves, and we must get to understand each other and respect each other. Not to be tolerant, but to be respectable of one another. And this is very important when we get there. And there is no other way for our national security but this way. No other way. These ways have proven in the past, either in the Inquisition or the French Revolution or the medieval ways, to be damaging at the end. We can't work like this. Again, I thank you for coming. And for the Muslim community, I tell you, we are studying very carefully and very seriously right now to take a class action suit against CSIS, not because we hate CSIS, because we love them. We care about this country, and we care about this country's institutions, because we cannot allow institutional discrimination and to institutionalize racism. That is unallowed. And therefore, we have to stand strong to take an action to teach them the lesson, because here material hurts. And when we take an action with a big compensation and prove it to everybody else that they did so many bad things, I don't know, go in a harsher word, then I think I expect you all to be with us and to tune with us and to work all together to make sure that we'll be able to protect each other. May God bless you all, and I thank you, and I leave the rest of the tonight to listen to some of these issues, that it will be explained very well in front of you. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Manuel Madan from the No One Is Illegal campaign.
Thank you. On behalf of all the members of the No One Is Illegal Montreal campaign, I'm here to express our solidarity with Adel Sharkawi and with all the other assembled groups that are here with us today, and particularly with the members of Adel Sharkawi's family who are here today. We express our solidarity in denouncing the unjust arrest, the detention, and the unfair trial of Adel. We denounce the targeting of Adel, recognizing it for what it is. It is yet another instance of anti-Arab, anti-Muslim racism by the illegitimate and repressive Canadian state, which the Canadian government is perpetrating in order to fulfill its imperial obligations to continue the construction of Fortress North America. There are a number of things that we can observe about the post-9/11 scapegoating of Arabs and Muslims in this country and in other Western countries. Firstly, and I think Mr. Sharkawi mentioned the new McCarthyism in an interview that he did this week, and I think it's a very apt term. It's a continuation of the ongoing siege mentality that we seem to need to maintain in this country, a mentality which necessitates the constant invention of fictitious enemies in order to fuel an ever-increasing militarization of our state, and also to keep all citizens of this society, even if they aren't Arab and Muslim themselves, paranoid, afraid, and by consequence, well-behaved and under control. The systemic fascism, the systemic racism of the Canadian state, and the anti-Arab Muslim racism which is found in society at large, these two forms of racism are interrelated, they feed each other, and the Canadian state is as much to blame for creating a climate of hatred against Arabs and Muslims in this country as other racist elements of our society are to blame for maintaining that hatred. And all those who do not stand up and denounce these racist attacks are complicit in this violence, whether it be systemic or physical violence, whether it be personal or generalized. The second thing to say about the scapegoating of Arabs and Muslims is that it has an economic function of maintaining a class of people who live within Canada's borders, who contribute to our society on a daily basis, who contribute to the society, to the economy, and yet who are denied their basic rights as citizens of this country, rights which are inherently theirs as human beings, which they should never be compelled to earn, but nevertheless do earn on a daily basis through their hard work, through their tireless investment in our communities, and through their very presence as neighbors and members of this community. By maintaining this class of outsiders, this class of illegal migrants, of illegal workers, of under-the-table people, queue jumpers, and now to this list we have had to add terrorists, or so-called terrorists, by maintaining this class of outsiders, the Canadian state is only seeking to cause more divisions amongst ourselves within our communities in order to better rule us. The third thing I wanted to say about the scapegoating of Arabs and Muslims is that it is a brutal reminder of Canada's and America's unconscionable stance with respect to the occupied land of Palestine. The Canadian government is fueling the false and racist depiction of Arabs in general as terrorists, whether it be in Morocco or Algeria or Iraq or any number of countries across the Arab world, as part of the Canadian and American government's continued discrediting of the so-called terrorists in Palestine, that is, the legitimate Palestinian struggle and the Canadian and American government's shameful, inexcusable support for Israel, despite that country's illegal occupation of Palestinian territories and despite Israel's illegal refusal to recognize the right of return for Palestinian refugees. Now, the security certificate is a process which has been with us in Canada since 1992. It was instituted with the help of CSIS. And under this security certificate, individuals based only on the word of CSIS can be declared a security threat. They can be arrested, held without bail, denied the opportunity to see evidence against them, or even for their lawyers to see that evidence. And then they can be deported to their home countries where they could face prison, torture, and execution. Now, there are several individuals who are currently fighting the Solicitor General's security certificate process. These include Mahmoud Jabala, who's a father of six kids, who was arrested in 1999. He won his freedom because the federal court found in favor of Jabala, and they found that he was credible and CSIS was not. However, in spite of this, CSIS was able to bring the case back to issue another certificate against Jabala, even though there was no new evidence. All they had was new interpretations of the very same evidence which had previously been rejected by the court. There's also Mohammed Mahajoub, who's a father of two children. He's also facing a security certificate procedure at the moment. He's been in jail since June 2000. Hassan Amray has been in jail since October 2001, and Mohammed Harkat since December of 2002. The security certificate has also been used against Holocaust denier Ernst Zundel. It's interesting to wonder whether CSIS is using the certificate against Zundel despite the fact that other measures are less harsh legal measures are available against Zundel. It's interesting to wonder whether this is to show its even-handedness in its repression. So the security certificate is obviously not about ensuring individuals a fair trial. This seems relatively obvious. So what is the function of the certificate? Well, in effect, because there is no judicial check against the formidable power that the security apparatus brings in such situations, what it does is it effectively turns the courts into another tool of investigation for CSIS, another tool for information gathering for CSIS, without any judicial balancing to protect the rights of the accused. CSIS is a spy agency in search of enemies. It needs to justify its massive budget buildup following September 11, 2001. It needs to continually come up with new threats to maintain its overblown funding levels. And I think that measures such as the security certificate are extremely instructive indications of how shallow the Canadian government's commitment to human rights and civil rights really is. The proof is that the right to a fair trial, the right to due process, these rights are meaningless if they can be withdrawn at the drop of a hat. due to extenuating circumstances or some exception to the rule of law. And the war on terror is, of course, not the first exception to the rule, and it won't be the last either. And the security certificate is not the only measure which flouts the basic civic and judicial rights of people in this country. There are all kinds of other measures that we can describe. For example, the new permanent resident card, which is, with its enhanced security features, which is an experiment in increased surveillance and control of immigrants. And it seems beyond doubt to me that if found successful, this kind of surveillance measure will be expanded. It's only another short step to expand it to citizenry as a whole. And Minister Coderre's commitment to incorporating biometric technologies such as retina scans, fingerprint record keeping, and so on, these are testament to the state's desire to totalize its monitoring and its control of citizens. The Smart Border Agreement, which Canada signed with the United States, affords more integrated information sharing between Immigration Canada and the INS, while the Safe Third Country Agreement allows Canada to shirk its Refugee Convention responsibilities by sending asylum seekers back to the United States, even in cases where it knows that the U.S. will not accept those people. We can speak of, for example, Haitians that arrive in the United States by boat that are immediately detained, or gender-based discrimination which is not recognized by the United States. So Canada is shirking on its responsibilities in this regard. No One Is Illegal Montreal is the name of the group that I'm representing tonight, and No One Is Illegal is part of a growing international movement for the rights of migrants. This movement is led by migrants themselves, people who recognize borders as artificial and arbitrary tools of colonialism and imperialism, designed to keep citizens better controlled by restricting their right to movement, and also by restricting their rights to live and to work if they do succeed in leaving their home country. We recognize that to leave one's home, especially permanently and without the possibility of returning, is one of the most difficult decisions that a person can ever make. If people are nevertheless making this decision, and they are, 150 million people per year are moving across national boundaries, well, if people are making this decision, it is because of very legitimate and incontrovertible reasons. Reasons like to escape situations of direct personal danger, persecution for reasons related to religion or political persecution, gender-based violence, direct personal danger, but also reasons related to economics, including systemic poverty, which is, of course, engendered in the countries of the Global South by the countries to which people immigrate. We reject the myth that it is the rich countries of the North which generously welcome migrants. In fact, there's a far greater openness to refugees and migrants in countries of the South, and we saw this during the U.S. bombardment of Afghanistan, where millions of refugees moved to Iran and to Pakistan, and relatively few made it to Western countries. We reject the injustices and indignities that migrants are subjected to when they do come to countries of the North, which include things like the security certificate, but also apply to things like surveillance and interrogation, massive detention, sometimes under indescribably cruel conditions. Thousands of deportations per year, criminalization of immigrants and migrants and refugees, racial profiling, police brutality, economic exploitation. In No One Was Illegal, we uphold the conviction that the right to define membership in a community should belong to the community itself, and not to Immigration Canada or the IRB. We reject categorically the legitimacy of the Canadian colonial state. This is a state which is established on occupied territory. It is a state built on the shameful and largely unacknowledged legacy of forcible stripping of sovereignty from the indigenous nations of this land, based on theft of land, theft of resources, based on an endless string of broken promises, the deliberate destruction of cultures. We are aware of the necessity to understand Immigration Canada, how they work, understand the laws, engage with those laws when necessary, but that doesn't mean that we recognize their legitimacy. Because how can a state whose own control over a country stems from dispossession and genocide, how can such a state now decide who is to be let in and who is to be sent away? This is a global movement of people who recognize that repression and scapegoating of migrants is nothing but racist, unjustified tools of neocolonialism and global economic and militaristic imperialism. This is a global movement of people who are fed up, who won't take it anymore, and who are standing up for their rights. Thank you.
Thank you to Manuel Madan from No One Is Illegal here in Montreal. We're now going to hear from Hind Shakraoui, the sister of Adele, and she will be speaking about his situation.
Salam alaikum. Bonjour tout le monde. Bonjour, mon nom est Hind Shakraoui. Je suis la sœur d'Adi Shakraoui. Adi Shakraoui, c'est un immigrant reçu d'origine marocaine, âgé de 30 ans, père d'un enfant de 18 mois, qui est né au Canada et dont l'épouse est enceinte d'un second. Il a déjà enseigné la langue française dans plusieurs établissements, y compris une école juive. Il complétait présentement une maîtrise en didactique à l'Université de Montréal. Il est arrivé au Canada depuis 1995 avec ses parents et sa sœur, moi-même. Quand on est arrivé en 1995, on pensait venir à un pays de justice, d'égalité et de droit. Et nous avons vécu avec ce rêve jusqu'au 21 mai 2003. Date de son arrestation par le service secret et la GRC. Pendant les 8 ans qu'on a vécu au Canada, mon frère a travaillé très fort pour s'établir et s'intégrer, que ce soit au niveau des études ou au niveau du travail. L'arrestation de mon frère survient dans un contexte d'harcèlement actif des membres de la communauté musulmane du Canada par le service.
Okay, I'll translate or summarize from time to time in English. So, I'm Adil's sister. Adil is an immigrant who is 30 years old. He's a landed immigrant. He's the father of an 18-month child, and his wife is expecting another child. Adil taught French in several schools, including a Jewish school. He's now completing a master's degree at Université de Montréal. He came in 1995 with his parents and with his sister, expecting to be living in a country of justice, equality, and based on the rule of law. In his 8 years in Canada, he's worked hard both as a student and also at several jobs. And his arrest came in a context of harassment of Arabs and Muslims.
L'arrestation de mon frère survient dans un contexte d'harcèlement actif des membres de la communauté musulmane par le service secret et la GRC, se concentrant sur les individus d'origine moyenne-orientale et arabe. Avec un certificat de sécurité, une personne peut être arrêtée et détenue sans être accusée d'aucune infraction. Son avocat ou son avocate ne connaît pas les allégations précises et n'a pas accès à l'ensemble de la preuve qui pèse contre elle, mais seulement à un résumé de la preuve qui constitue, ensemble, une interprétation des faits. Les renseignements utilisés contre elle peuvent même provenir d'un état étranger, sous le sceau du secret, toujours et secret. Le juge examine les documents remis par le service secret et sa décision sera finale sans appel, ce qui veut dire que l'avis de la personne touchée par le certificat dépend d'un seul juge. Les procédures qui s'appliquent dans le cas de certificat de sécurité sont contraires aux règles de justice fondamentales. La règle de base dans le droit, quand on enseigne aux étudiants de la première année en droit, que toute personne est présumée innocente jusqu'à preuve de contraire, c'est sur de principes que se basent les lois et le droit dans les pays démocratiques comme le Canada. Mais avec la nouvelle loi, c'est-à-dire entre guillemets le certificat de sécurité, au lieu que le Canada avance sur le chemin des pays et démocrates, il régresse sur revenir aux pratiques du Moyen-Âge arbitraire et discriminatoire.
His arrest came in a context of harassment of the Muslim community by CSIS and by the RCMP, in particular of people from Middle East Arab origin. Security certificate allows for arrest without charge, no access to the heart of the proof, only a summary of the proof, and risk for the person to be deported to a country where they might be subjected to torture, even death. The judge basically examined what is considered evidence and makes a final decision which cannot be appealed. This way of approaching a case violates the basic rule of law which first-year students learn, that someone's innocent until proven guilty. Security certificate actually is a regression to the arbitrariness of the Middle Ages.
Le mandat de sécurité qui s'est abattu le 16 mai sur mon frère, Adi Charkawi, n'est ni le premier ni le dernier, puisqu'il a eu des tas de personnes qui ont eu le même sort, comme Mohamed Mahjoub en juin 2000, comme Mahmoud Jaballah en août 2001, comme Hassan Al-Merri, je ne sais pas comment le prononcer, mais je sais que c'est Hassan Al-Merri en octobre 2001, comme Mohamed Harakat en décembre 2002. Alors je pose la question moi-même, je me dis pourquoi mon frère ? Moi-même, je ne le sais pas. Alors de la même, à vous l'expliquer. Ça serait difficile, même impossible. Mais tout ce que je sais et toute ma famille sait ce que mon frère, c'est que mon frère a été harcelé à plusieurs reprises. Et même par le service secret canadien pour être un informateur. C'est pour cela que mon frère ne s'est jamais étonné du fait de ne pas recevoir la citoyenneté, contrairement aux autres membres de ma famille, moi, ma mère et mon père, mais de là à porter de fausses accusations contre lui, c'est très grave. Je ne peux pas vous décrire comment on se sent actuellement, mais je peux vous dire qu'on est horrifié et on ne croit pas qu'est-ce qui nous arrive, et même très écœuré.
Security mandate on Adel was not the first and not the last. Several people in the last few years have been subjected to this measure. Why is this happening to my brother? I don't know. I don't know any more than you know about this. It's impossible to explain. What I do know is that my brother was harassed repeatedly by CSIS to become an informer. He did not accept to cooperate. And unlike his parents or his sister, who were given Canadian citizenship, he was always refused Canadian citizenship. We are horrified and we're disgusted.
Maintenant, ce qui est arrivé à mon frère, ça peut arriver à n'importe qui d'entre vous. C'est pour cela que la solidarité est très importante entre nous. Je remercie toute personne qui nous a soutenus avec leurs prières, au niveau financier, au niveau moral, pour vous, êtres humains, qui croient à l'égalité, la justice et le droit, nous demandons votre soutien moral et financier et votre présence. Je voudrais remercier et montrer toute ma gratitude et ma reconnaissance à la coalition qui se bat depuis le 21 mai, le jour de l'arrestation de mon frère, pour que coalition qui se bat, pour que justice soit faite, je tiens à remercier les organisations et l'association suivante. Le Conseil musulman de Montréal, la Coalition pour la justice pour Adi Charkawi, Personne n'est illégal, la Ligue des droits et libertés, Amnesty International Canada, l'Association américaine des juristes, la Coalition pour la surveillance internationale des libertés civiles, la Maison des bombes, Objection de la conscience. Ça se peut que j'ai oublié d'autres organismes ou associations qui nous ont aidés et soutenus pendant toute cette longue et horrible semaine.
And this could happen to any of you, so that's why solidarity is very important. We wish to express thanks for people who supported us through their prayers, financially, morally. As support between human beings, we ask for your moral and financial support. I wish to express my thanks and appreciation to the coalition who has been fighting since the arrest of Adel, May 21st, for justice, in particular the Muslim Council of Montreal, the Justice Coalition for Adil Sharkawi, No One is Illegal, the Ligue des Droits et Libertés, Amnesty International Canada, the American Association of Jurists, the International Monitoring Civil Liberties Monitoring Group, Home Not Bombs, Voices in the Voices of Conscience, and possibly others that I'm forgetting to mention. Not me, but that's what she said.
Je voudrais avoir aussi une pensée du fond du cœur pour tous les volontaires, femmes, hommes, Canadiens, immigrants, musulmans, non-musulmans, qui ont à cœur la justice, la liberté et le droit de tout être humain, quelle que soit sa race, son origine ou sa religion. Et merci beaucoup.
Thank you again, Hind Shakrawi, sister of Adil Shakrawi. I just want to remind people that, as mentioned, solidarity is one of the most important things at these points in time. And there are a number of things that people can do. Of course, anybody here who's interested in getting involved in the campaign to support Adil Shakrawi, you can sign up to attend meetings and get more information at the table just outside the front door. There's also donation forms outside the front door, so if you have any money to give to support the campaign and the family, Adele's family, that would be great. And there's also a petition which is being circulated, which is also outside the door. We're now going to be hearing from Mohamed Chelfi, who is a non-status Algerian who's lived in Montreal for a number of years and has been very active in the campaign of the non-status Algerians here in this city who have been fighting against the pending deportation of hundreds of members of their community. The campaign to stop the deportations was started in April of 2002 and is continuing on to this day. A number of non-status Algerians were just arrested in Ottawa after staging an occupation of Immigration Minister Denis Coderre's office in Ottawa, the same Denis Coderre who was responsible for signing the security certificate which justified the arrest of Adil Shakrawi. So Mohamed will be speaking about the campaign to stop the deportation of non-status Algerians and the recent actions which took place in Ottawa. Welcome, Mohamed Chelfi. You'll see that he's actually has some marks and everything from me.
السلام عليكم. بونجور. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه إلى كل خير ومن أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين شرا فاجعل كيده في نحره واجعل دائرة السوء عليه. Bon, bonjour tout le monde. Mon nom c'est Mohamed Chelfi. Je suis membre du comité d'action des sans-statut algériens. Moi je vais vous raconter brièvement c'est quoi notre lutte parce que je pense que ça a un lien et ça a été inspirant pour c'est inspirant pour la suite. Donc nous on est des sans-statut algériens, on est des revendicateurs de statut de réfugié et on a été refusé comme réfugié. Mais on avait le droit de rester au Canada parce qu'il y avait un moratoire. Qui interdisait la déportation vers l'Algérie, qui a été instauré en 97. Et puis ce moratoire a été levé l'année passée, en 2002. Et donc 1000 Algériens étaient menacés de déportation. Bon, eux ils disent que le moratoire a été levé parce que l'Algérie va bien, mais nous on sait que c'est non, parce que le jour de la levée du moratoire, le ministre Chrétien était en Algérie, et que l'Algérie c'est le premier partenaire économique du Canada pour toute la région du Moyen-Orient et de l'Afrique. C'est 2 milliards de dollars d'échanges et puis ça va en montant.
Okay, he's a member of the Action Committee of Non-Status Algerians. Because of a moratorium that's been in existence since 1997, they had the right to remain in Canada and could not be deported to Algeria. This moratorium was lifted in 2002, and 1,000 Algerians became threatened with deportation at that time. The moratorium been lifted under the pretext that now the human rights situation has improved in Algeria, which is absolutely not the case. While this was being lifted, Jean Chrétien was in Algeria, and it turns out that Algeria is the primary partner in North Africa for Canadian business worth $2 billion a year, amounting to $2 billion a year.
Alors au début on n'était pas très nombreux, puis on avait de la misère, on n'avait pas beaucoup d'appui, mais le fait d'être persévérant, puis d'y croire, puis de dire que c'est une injustice, ça aide, parce que on a lutté pendant des mois et finalement on a fait reculer le gouvernement puisqu'il a trouvé un genre de solution où quand même la 80% de ces gens-là vont être régularisés. Bon, il reste 20% qui sont exclus pour différentes raisons, donc non, on continue notre lutte. Mais pour vous dire que la lutte, ça donne, ça a duré ça, presque une année. Mais quand on y croit, quand on est persévérant, quand on vit, on dit c'est une injustice, puis il faut se battre, on arrive toujours à notre but.
At the beginning, there were really not many of us and we had very little support, but we believed in our cause and decided to struggle, and eventually the support grew and the government backed up, at least to a large extent, because 80% of the people will now have a regular situation. There's still a 20% of the cases that remain to be fought for. So there is a need to believe in one's cause to advance the struggle.
Oui, maintenant, je vais vous raconter deux petits événements. C'est que moi, j'ai été arrêté deux fois. Une fois au bureau d'immigration du Québec, puis une fois au bureau d'immigration du Canada, au bureau du ministre Coder. Pour vous dire que finalement, on est tous d'accord qu'on est face à un gouvernement répressif, que l'histoire des droits de l'homme et tout, ça recule, du moins ça recule beaucoup. Donc il faut s'entendre sur ça, on est face à un gouvernement répressif, l'histoire de tous ces droits de l'homme et tout, ça vaut rien. Donc ça, il faut que ça soit le point de départ de notre lutte. Parce que Hind tout à l'heure dit, on a rêvé, on a tous rêvé un moment ou un autre. Moi je viens d'un pays où je voyais l'Occident à travers la télé, puis je disais waouh. Mais quand on arrive, quand on se confronte au système, quand on voit ça de l'intérieur, on se rend compte rapidement, finalement, ça vaut rien. Donc on part de ça. Il y a un gouvernement répressif, puis comment on fait pour le combattre?
He was arrested twice personally at the immigration office of in Quebec and at Coderre's office in Ottawa. Basically, we need to realize that we're facing a repressive government and that the human rights situation is really losing quite a bit of ground. Hind said that basically before coming to Canada, we were dreaming, and he said we basically saw the West through a TV set, but when we came to experience it directly, the story was quite different.
Puis ma deuxième arrestation, elle est intervenue jeudi, donc on est parti dans le au bureau de Coderre à Ottawa. On a eu beaucoup de chance parce qu'on est arrivé à monter au 21e étage dans un building qui est extrêmement surveillé. Et même eux, ils se sont étonnés quand on est arrivé en haut. Comment avez-vous fait pour arriver? Ben, on était une douzaine de personnes. On est arrivé là vers 1h. Puis on dit, OK, on veut voir le ministre parce qu'on a fait des demandes et il ne veut rien savoir de nous. Bon, ils nous ont laissés, ils nous ont fait traîner pendant toute l'après-midi, négociation, pas de négociation. Mais finalement, à 10h30 du soir, ils ont donné l'assaut à une brigade anti-émeute qui a été très, très violente. Et elle a utilisé des méthodes que je n'ai jamais pensé, que ça, même pas que ça existait au Canada. Ils ont utilisé des guns électriques. Et bien, vous avez ici la trace, ça c'est l'électricité. Puis ça aussi, là. Puis il y a l'autre aussi. Ben oui, oui, parce qu'il faut savoir c'est quoi le système.
Ça c'est avec un pistolet, on m'a frappé avec un pistolet. Il y a ici de l'électricité, j'ai ici, j'ai un peu ici, et j'ai ici aussi.
Puis il y a lui là, pareil.
Je profite de son goût, l'aïtlek Sarahouna Adil Chakawi.
Et c'est ça.
Ouais. Et donc c'est une arrestation qui était assez violente et finalement qui renforce ce que je disais, on est face à un gouvernement, il ne faut plus y croire ce qu'on nous dit, comment faire pour le combattre? C'est ça la question.
His second arrest was on Thursday. A dozen persons from the Non-Status Action Committee managed to reach 21st floor in this building, which was under high surveillance, and the people were quite surprised that they managed to reach that level. They were there at 1 p.m. and things dragged, not being able to meet anyone until 10:30 p.m., at which time an assault was given by an anti-riot squad. And he said that the methods used were methods that he didn't think were possible in Canada. They used stun guns and hitting people. Some people were hit on the head with the bottom of a gun, electric shocks with the stun guns. It was a very violent arrest, and he ended by saying that we should no longer believe that this is a country where a rule of law really applies, and we need to understand that and to develop our struggle accordingly.
Mais bien, ça ne va pas nous décourager. On va continuer la lutte commun. Ce que je veux dire, le lien que je veux faire avec la lutte de Adil et la lutte qu'on doit mener contre le certificat de sécurité, puis notre lutte, c'est toujours y croire. Parce qu'au début de la lutte, on a l'impression qu'on n'est pas nombreux, puis que le monde est moins mobilisé. Hind me disait, parce qu'il y a une actuellement, je profite pour le dire, il y a quand même pro forma, on va décider de la date de son procès. Ça se passe au 30 McGill, c'est la cour fédérale, je pense, c'est ça. C'est au 30 McGill. Il y a eu déjà une première audience, et puis il va y avoir une autre le 2 ou le 3, où on va fixer la date du procès, puis on va décider s'il va être libéré sous caution ou pas. Mais elle m'a dit que la salle n'était pas pleine, qu'avec des journalistes. Donc je lance un appel ici. Le 2 ou le 3, au 30 McGill, va y avoir... donc soyez nombreux. C'est ça qui donne le courage, et puis il faut y croire, il faut être ensemble, et 9h30 du matin. Okay, le 2 ou le 3 juillet, excuse.
Okay, he said the main thing is not to be discouraged and that we must continue the struggle. And the primary link that he draws between their own struggle and Adil's case is that we must believe in the cause and keep working at it. Hind told him earlier today that she was a bit discouraged by the fact that there weren't that many people. Actually, it was mostly journalists who attended the hearing Friday morning. So on the 2nd or the 3rd of July, the date is not finally set, in the federal court in Montreal, 30 McGill, 9:30 in the morning, would be a pro forma hearing where probably the date for the real hearing would be set, and also whether Adil would be free on bail.
Pour revenir au certificat de sécurité, moi j'ai rencontré la femme de Mohamed Arkad, qui est canadienne. Je l'ai vue à Ottawa par deux fois. Et elle aussi, elle est courageuse, puis elle aussi, elle mène une lutte qui est similaire. Elle combat le certificat de sécurité. Et avec l'affaire de Adil Sherkaoui, ce qui est bien, c'est que ça commence à prendre l'ampleur, et c'est encourageant. Et ce certificat de sécurité, moi je ne connais pas Adil, je ne connais pas Mohamed Arkad, je ne les connais pas. Et je ne pourrais pas dire s'ils sont coupables ou pas, parce que je ne les connais pas. Mais une chose est sûre, c'est que le processus est mal fait, parce que c'est secret, parce qu'ils ne veulent pas donner de preuves. C'est ça, nous on remet en cause, ça ne devrait pas exister comme ça. Si ces gens-là ont fait quelque chose, alors qu'ils aient un procès comme tout le monde, pas dans des tribunaux d'exception ou par des procédés d'exception. S'ils ont des preuves, qu'ils nous les donnent. Et l'histoire de « on ne peut pas donner les preuves parce qu'on doit protéger les sources d'information », tout ça, ça ne marche pas. Ça ne marche pas parce que si la personne a fait quelque chose, j'écoutais la dernière fois aussi la mère de Zakaria Moussaoui, elle disait pareil, si mon fils a fait quelque chose, qu'on donne la preuve, puis qu'on le coffre en prison, mais qu'on ne suppose pas des choses. Ce n'est pas parce qu'il est parti au Pakistan ou wherever, il va être accusé. Donc, c'est ça, c'est le processus. On n'est pas là pour déterminer s'ils sont coupables ou pas, mais on peut contester, on va contester la façon de faire.
On this similar security certificate charge, Mohamed Arkad was arrested and still detained, and he met his wife, a courageous woman who's fighting a similar struggle, and things can improve, and that's what he's saying to Hind, basically. He said he doesn't know whether Adil or Mohamed are guilty. He doesn't know them. What he knows is that this process is completely at fault. The secrecy around this is unacceptable. There should be no room for any tribunals of exception. If there are proofs, the proofs should be given. And if there's no proof, the people should be set free. And the pretext of protecting sources is a joke in this context. And going to Pakistan should be no reason to be incarcerated as such.
Et puis moi, pour avoir vécu dans un pays qui a connu le terrorisme pendant 10 ans et qu'il connaît toujours, nous savons que le gouvernement algérien, il y a beaucoup dans le terrorisme. Ça a été aussi pour le gouvernement fédéral pendant la crise d'octobre.
Ils ont fait des choses pour salir le FLQ. Donc, ils font actuellement en Algérie pareil, parce que le terrorisme, il arrange certaines personnes. L'état de siège en Algérie, ça fait 10 ans que ça dure et ça va durer. En 10 ans, ils ont licencié 500 000 personnes en Algérie, mais tu n'as pas le droit de manifester. On te licencie, tu vas chez toi. Donc, cette histoire d'entretenir le terrorisme, on la connaît déjà. Et tous les événements qui arrivent, je suis pas un enquêteur, mais même l'attentat de Casablanca, là, ça ne me convainc pas du tout. C'est juste des façons de faire pour plus de répression, pour justifier toutes ces lois répressives. Donc moi, je remets en doute. Moi, j'ai voyagé au Maroc. Je sais, le Maroc, c'est très, très difficile même de faire rentrer un grain de cocaïne. Alors, faire entrer des voitures bourrées d'explosifs dans des endroits comme ça, moi, je trouve ça douteux. C'est juste des façons pour justifier la répression. Et c'est ce qu'ils font depuis le 11 septembre. C'est tous des événements pour justifier la répression et pour moins de droits.
He's lived in Algeria, a country where there's a lot of terror, and he said the government of Algeria plays a significant role in that terror too. And he made a comparison with the Quebec Liberation Front in the October crisis, and where the RCMP was actually creating themselves fake cells of the Quebec Liberation Front and initiating actions of their own in this regard. And in Algeria, there are no protests allowed. I mean, 500,000 people lost their jobs without being able to protest against this fact. So there's a lot of resentment, anger underlying. He said he doesn't really believe in the justifications given by the government for the Casablanca bombings. He doubts the official story. It's hard to bring in one single gram of any dope across the border. How can they have cars filled with explosives running around without being caught?
Mais pour conclure, j'aimerais juste dire à la famille d'Adil, c'est les remercier d'abord d'avoir le courage de mener cette lutte, c'est pas facile, puis de leur dire qu'on est avec eux, et de leur dire aussi, et de dire au monde qui est là, puis à tous les organismes, parce que nous aussi on a eu une longue liste d'appui, mais je dis que le véritable appui il est sur le terrain. Il ne suffit pas de mettre son nom sur une liste, mais d'être actif, parce que la vraie lutte elle se met sur le terrain, puis... Le nombre est très important. Nous, dans notre lutte, à chaque fois qu'on traite avec les journalistes ou avec l'immigration, toujours, quand j'appelle, ils me disent « Vous êtes combien ?» Parce que c'est plus on est nombreux, et mieux c'est. Et donc j'aimerais appeler à la mobilisation du monde pour qu'ils viennent dans des marches, dans des actions. Et puis donc remercier la famille d'Adil et dire qu'on est de tout cœur avec eux. Puis on est avec eux aussi sur le terrain. On va essayer d'être là pour les actions. Et bon, avant de finir, j'aimerais juste... vous dire qu'il y a une carte, on vient de me la donner, c'est concernant le cas de Mohamed Arkat, et c'est la même lutte finalement. Alors c'est une carte qu'il faut remplir et qu'il faut renvoyer au Premier ministre Jean Chrétien. Donc je vais vous demander de prendre cette carte et donc de contribuer à cette lutte. Et je vous remercie du fond du cœur d'être venu, ça nous fait chaud au cœur et puis... On mène tous le même combat finalement, un combat pour la justice.
So as a conclusion, I'd like to thank Adil's family for engaging in this struggle. It's not easy, but we're with you all the way. Real support is more than putting your name on a petition. Real support means to get active, because numbers do count. That's one of the first questions that journalists ask, how many of you are there? And so he's calling for people to mobilize, and he thanks Adil's family again for what they're doing, and we have to be there with them in action. And in ending, he showed a card which is on behalf of Mohamed Arkat, and it's a card to be returned to Prime Minister Chrétien protesting his detention under a similar security certificate. Thanks again. It was heartwarming to have you all here. I'd just like to add one minor little point, which he didn't mention, but in a private conversation before, he did mention, and it's important to understand, when he said about the brutality of the arrest, most of the blows and the stun gun shots that they had was given to them after they were handcuffed, after they were no longer in a position to do anything.
I'd like to thank Mohamed Shelfi for speaking again tonight. And thank you, Raymond Legault, for providing the translation. Thank you to everybody who came to tonight's event, all those who presented, Salam al-Minyawi from the Muslim Council of Montreal, Emmanuel Madan from the No One Is Illegal campaign, and of course Hind Shakrawi, the sister of Adele Shakrawi. It's really important everybody came out tonight, and as Mohammed said, we want to move forward and make this campaign grow. And to make it grow, we need your support. There will be upcoming events and actions which look specifically at Adele Shakrawi's case, but also more broadly at the security certificate and how that is being implemented at an alarming rate on the Arab and Muslim communities here in Canada. Thank you, everybody, for coming.